sabhiryam karavavahai tejasvinavati tamastoma vidvishavahai Om Shanti 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 Om Jaya Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Shivasari Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare.
Okay, so we're continuing with the Chaitanya Upanayanam, Nyaya Sutras, okay, page 2. Mano 2.1.11 says that dharma or duty is to ascertain by logical reasoning, not opposed to the injunctions of the Vedas. Right? So in other words, when you get into the system, it starts with the Veda. What should I do? So Mano then says you have to start with the Veda. Then based on that, then you're going to take the Shruti and Smriti. Right? Shruti, the Veda, then the Smriti, how the great personalities have understood the Veda and how they practiced their life. Right? So the example, like you see in the Puranas and everything like that. How did Dhruv Maharaj live? How did Prahlad Maharaj live? How did they do? Then you're going to get to what the great personalities say. You know, the acharyas and our line and senior devotees and things like that. So that then is how to apply that into our situation. Then we analyze it for ourselves. How does it apply? What applies? You know, how are we able to do? Does that make sense? Then you can see this works for me. So that's the thing. You have to use logical reasoning. It's not just a sentiment. You can't just say, oh, we're Westerners. What does that mean? Define Western. What does that mean? You know, which Westerners? You know, which ones? You know, we're talking about, you know, because like in America, the northern half is predominantly Germans, the southern half is predominantly English. You know, and then you have everybody else mixed into that. And so then, you know, what do you mean? Who's, what's the background? You know, so the food is very different. What they eat in the south, very different. What they eat in the north, very different out in the west. But they say, oh, we're Westerner. Which one? Which one's the Westerner? Who's the Westerner? Will the real Westerner please stand up? You know? And then, you know, you have the pagoda and all that. And so the real Westerner is actually Greek. No? They're the basis of the Western culture, isn't it? That's the whole thing starts with Greece. So therefore, rice in grape leaves, right? And lots of olives. So they say, oh, rice is an Indian thing. No, rice is Greek. Rice is a Western thing. Real Westerners eat rice. You know, this other stuff, that's... They didn't have rice, right? It means you go up north with the Germans and that. Can they grow rice up there? No. So therefore, then wheat will grow up there, so they eat it. You know, interesting, I don't know if I mentioned this. Someone just the other day mentioned that one of the things in the Vishupurana, it mentions that in as Kali progresses, there won't be grains. People will eat the quasi-grains, because the real grains won't be there. So it means rice, wheat, you know, dal, these things won't be there. And so they'll have to eat things like the barley, millet, what do you call it, quinoa, you know, all those things. So those would be said. I say, oh, these are more healthy for them. It's just Kali Yuga's influence that they're not attracted to the real grains. They don't even notice it. I mean, it's just like, you know, with the apple. They didn't know that nice apple, you know. You know, so Kali's very, very expert.
Apples are very popular
still. Yeah, no, they're still popular.
I mean, in different shapes.
Yeah.
Okay. And the one that
yeah, got the bit, yeah, the bite out of it, yeah. Oh yeah. Does that mean that if you use apple products, you're connected with the original sin?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, because then you take the bite out of the apple and say, that.
That's the original apple.
So apples come from Kaza Almaty, no? So does that, so does that mean that the Garden of Eden was in Almaty? That might not go down so well. But,
how I mean it.
Because Almaty means, right, the mother of apples.
No, grandfather of apples.
Grandfather of apples. The grandfather of apples. Grandfather of apples.
Steve Jobs didn't know where to find his company.
Oh, but it could have been that they started over there and then went right over the garden then from. We'll get into that. He recommends logic nyaya as a necessary study for a king, and that a logician is an indispensable member of a legal assembly. An assembly shall be consisted of at least 10 members. Persons learned in the three Vedas, right? That means one each, right? A logician, a person expert in tarka or mimamsa philosophy. Tarka means the techniques of presenting an argument. It means it's a technical point. It means like somebody said this, and you don't know what to say, but you know they say this, you say that, like you said before. It's that, you know, they say, oh, you know, but that's for, you know, old people, and you only say, no, but it's a spiritual thing, so that's for the souls. That has nothing to do with that. That's a tarka, right?
Also, that's also one aspect. Another, when it comes in the logic, one of the, here it means that, but the tarka, which comes in 16 aspects, it's more of when you don't know about something, then you give case studies, like case one, case two. It could be this.
Okay.
And then you go into detail and find out which of
them. Oh, okay. So the analysis of the options, yes. That's tarka.
That also is. But okay. What you said is the primary.
Okay, that's also.
Meaning.
Yes. So
what they call it, hermeneutics?
No.
Well, he says mimamsa, so that should be there also. He says that.
But it's. Epistemology of words.
Well, that's different.
No, that's another should know words. Because when they go back. Because if you have an assembly, they have to deal with legal cases. So this is not necessarily the same as his ministers, which is a maximum of 9 recommended. This is an assembly. So ministers will discuss the government and this and that. They might also do cases, but the point is you have all these people. They can bring up something from all these places. So if someone comes up and presents his legal case, then someone can figure out it's not logical, or it's against Shastra, or it's not supported by this Veda, or it's, you know, like this. So they can tell all these things. So you have to have them there, because one person, how many people know all that? You know, so if you have Vishishta Muni sitting there, you don't have to worry. He's the 10-man assembly himself, you know. Like that. But.
So this is like a court or something?
Yeah, maybe like a court. You know, for dealing with, because you have to know what's the logic. Mm-hmm. You know what's going on. So that's why it's one of them. A person knowing the nirupta, the etymology, words, because otherwise somebody will be saying something and they're using it in one way, but by the etymology they actually mean something else. A person expert in Dharma Shastras, and 3 men belonging to the first 3 ashrams of life. Right, so in other words, the sannyasi is not there.
He shouldn't.
No. Of course, that may not go down so well locally, but. But Syayana, Nyaya Bhasya 111, observes that Andishiki, without the theory of reasons, would have, like the Upanishads, been just Atmavidya. It is the theory of reasons which distinguishes from Atmavidya. So Anvikshika, as we mentioned, is when you have Atmavidya, or spiritual knowledge, and you have logic.
Hetuvidya.
Yeah. So the two
Vidya.
Hetuvidya.
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 Right? So you understand? So you have the logic, and you have the philosophy. You have the transcendental knowledge of pravidya and logic. Mm-hmm. Together, that's called anvikshiki. Because he's making the point, if you have anvikshiki, it doesn't have reasoning in it, it'll just be philosophy.
Right.
Right? And, yeah. And does that make sense?
Yeah.
Or if you have reasoning without philosophy, it's just reasoning. So you have to have the two. That makes it.
So is that what we're going to study then?
Yes. Yeah, I mean, okay. That's the whole purpose of it, is mm-hmm. that they go together. So, in other words, you can see his logic is meant for studying philosophy. Mm-hmm. It can be used for anything else, but philosophy is there. It has its, you know, the philosophical point. Then you have to apply it,
yeah.
right? And so, in applying it, there's the art. That means you're dealing with the material energy. So that means you're dealing with apara vidya,
yeah.
right? So there's going to be logic there also, right? So how that all connects together, that's what you have to be able to see. So that's why it comes down to that. If we're using logic, then you see many who use logic, then they'll get kind of stuck more to the ritualistic, or they'll just be philosophical. No. You know, there's people who say we only chant Hare Krishna, and they only do that. They just chant the stupid books. They don't do anything else. Everybody else is mud. So they have philosophy. But they don't go down into the broader life, because they're selling books to. Who are they selling books to? People like themselves?
No.
People not like themselves. So therefore, how do those people not like themselves get the money? Otherwise, they should just go out preaching. When the guy's interested, give him the book. Walk off. Problem is how you print the next book. So that means it all goes together. So it's weak. They're good that they're situated so nicely and determined, but they're weak because they can't actually accommodate others and show them how to live their life. Right? So they're taking that one side. Then you have others who will take, you know, there's no logic, you know, applied, and so then it's just all thrown out with kind of this modern liberal thing. You know, it's all about the feelings and this and that. And, you know, as soon as you try to point out a logical fault, oh, you're racist, or you're using this, you're that, you're all these things. So there's no logic being used here at all. This is what we call the bitanda. It's just to defeat the other guy. There's no philosophy. Because if you take it, everybody's equal. Okay, explain equal. What does that look like? Because equal means, okay, you want to say like the modern thing, okay, ladies are guru. Okay, great. And if everybody's equal, that means all ladies should be guru. And then all ladies, because also the young ones are there, the old ones, so that means if you're female, they should just be automatically gurus. But if we're being equal, the men should also be. You know, so that means everybody's automatically a diksha guru from the moment they're born. In fact, you know, things you like the particular person, you know, when they're in the womb, then, you know, he's like Sukadeva Goswami. He was pretty good when he was in the womb, Prahlad Maharaj. So, you know, I'd like, you know, they're in that pure state. I want to take initiation while he's still in the womb. You know. So if you take it, then the whole philosophy falls apart. You understand? Because there's no philosophy. It doesn't have a core. It doesn't have a siddhanta. It's just used to defeat that I want this political outcome. And I'm arguing to get that political outcome. It's not actually a philosophy of equality. Because if that's the case, then how we treat the guru, we should treat every devotee. You know? So that means either we wash everybody's feet and flowers are flying for everybody who walks into the temple, or no one gets it. There is no vyasa-san because, you know, unless everybody can sit on it, or the temple room is designed, you see, it's, the floor is there, nice, and on the side here, it has some designs, and on the wall it looks like a back painted. So the temple room is a vyasa-san, so everybody is on the vyasa-san. I mean, this is where it goes, if you actually logically get into it. Yes?
The small difference, Maharaj, that the tanda is, then actually there is a fault, and then you keep on that. But if there is no fault, and then you make it up, then it is even down three. Chala, jati.
Oh, okay.
It is jati. What you are...
What is described there is jati. You just jati. Take... Yeah. Jati means you're taking a general category and then making that into the point when it's not... Because if I say everybody, then everybody will be cool with it. But I'm not talking about it. I'm only talking about this particular group. So in other words, what the facilities that the... what do you call those? What's it called? It's been so long. Not Nietzsche. Zonal Acharyas had. That's what we should get. But then give that to everybody. That's all. So you understand that taking a particular group, does that make sense?
Yeah.
And using it in a particular way. So it's actually a political tool. Yeah. It's not logic.
that they're using. These logic describes these methods, but these aren't the methods that should be used. In other words, that's why I said before, you should know what is logic and what's not. That's why I said in the Sandarbha, it's describing logic and then saying what's not. To the right, right. Right, no, the other side, the other side. Yeah. You don't want to get shocked if you walk into that room. Sometimes it looks really good and sometimes not. So you don't want to.
I guess it depends on the moon. It's way.
Yes, exactly. Exactly. And it generally takes that long.
Yeah.
Between the flood, like, so it takes a few weeks and then it goes up. You know. Well, actually, no. You can probably say it takes a few weeks to get clean and then it's dirty. And then a few weeks.
Basically, it's figured out only once in 2 or 3 weeks that it's dirty.
Yes. I once went in there and I was shocked when it was on the shelf. It was something that they took in there to eat, and then they got a phone call and went out of the room, and it was still sitting there. And I said, when is this from? He says, you know, I think that done. Is this from yesterday, before? He said, oh no, that was 3 weeks ago.
That's already medicine.
Just keep it for another few weeks and they can bottle it, right? Yeah. Yes. Exactly.
So.
Yeah, so therefore the aspects of what is appropriate use of logic and what's inappropriate. Mm-hmm. But the point is, someone who knows logic should know both. Mm-hmm. Because one is that they can present things logically and not get disturbed by someone who's not. And at the same time, so if you're dealing with someone who's not, and they're using these inappropriate, you can use them back on them and defeat them. You know, like all the absurd things I was saying. That's not.
Or walk away also.
Yeah, or the best is walk away. But nowadays, you know, maybe they'll let me walk away and maybe they won't. Okay, was it human? Okay.
He also asked it.
Huh? Okay. Like that. So, you know, it's a field. Like that. Yes.
May I ask a question on this?
On this? Okay, as long as it's on this.
Yesterday we discussed with the teachers in my job the definition of philosophy, and because the Greek word, it's a great Greek word, philosophy. They consider it's a love to the Sophia, to the wisdom, so to speak. Mm-hmm. And in the time of Socrates, it was it meant that philosophy should be practical, should have practical way of application.
Yes.
And usually we identify philosophy with the Darshan, with Darshan system, yes? And yesterday you told that Nyaya itself doesn't have a special sadhana, yes, special way of doing. And does it mean that Darshan as philosophy shouldn't have special practice? Or
No. Means philosophy means is your it's describing the whole thing. But Prabhupada, you see, he describes it as a science. See, when you have a philosophy that there's no practical application, you call it theory. Mm-hmm. Right? Either it doesn't have or people don't know how to apply that. Mm-hmm. You know, it's just like, let's say the... So then you have those who are able to apply but don't know the theory. That's the art. So when you know the theory and you know the art and can apply it, that's called science. So science means practically applicable. That's why we're teaching the science of Krishna consciousness. So Vedanta is the science. You know, so that's the Vedic things, they're science, they can be applied. Like that. So then this can also be applied, it's the science. But it doesn't mean that it'll be aparada, vidya. And then there's parada. So, but the point is in applying it into our life, means like in the spiritual world, it's mentioned the gopis, they're not logicians. They're not great scholars. They don't have to be. They just love Krishna. So you don't require... The apara vidya has this point in where it adds into Krishna's pastimes. Otherwise, it's not there. So generally, you'll see it's not used. But now and again, there'll be this whole big argument between Krishna and the gopis on some, you know, some cultural or philosophical topic and that, and they'll get right into it, and there's a whole big scene going on. So it's part of the taste. You know, does that make sense? Yeah, so then the darshan means to see. To see means you see it. It's there, you can apply it and see it. So it means it's the science. This darshan means you should be able to see it, apply. It's not just I have an understanding. That's the same. No, I see through that. That's how I see. So shastra chakshus means it's applied. What's that?
There's one episode in Krishna Lila is that when Gopi is trying to get some pearls from Krishna,
mm-hmm.
and you know the argument really goes on and it's on its peak. So then Gopi's challenge Krishna, who has his representatives, and of course Radhika, she has hers.
Mm-hmm.
So there's a challenge, and they just observe. So there's a direct challenge to Krishna, and then some of the gopis, they say that you're doing a dharma. What kind of business is it? We are vaishyas, so there's only, you know, cow protection and cultivating the land. And then Krishna says, no, there's a profiteering. So it's completely our thing, and then there's a logical, you know, pro and con, you know, it's going on. So this is where they apply the logic.
Yes, yes.
So gopis, they have their own logic, which is completely logical. Mm-hmm. But then Krishna, he has his own logic. And it's really sweet. So he says, no, profiteering. And they were like puzzled, like, what is this profiteering? It's like, it's not in the Shastra, it's nowhere.
Yeah. No, but also they'll use for fun these systems that you won't. Don't use like the chala, like that. The one, I think chala means where you shift the meaning. You know, so there's that one in Nectar Devotion where Radharani asked him, where did you spend the night? I think, no, he said, yeah, where did you stay? You know, so that means, you know, where you sleep, it just means where did you stay last night. That he shifts the word, it means my residence is in your eyes. You know, and then like that he goes on and she says, no, I said, what's this? And then he shifts it again, you know, and he says, oh, it's in your beauty, you know, just like this. And so then, and then she gets tired of that, so she changes the word. And she uses the word, okay, where did you spend the night? And then Krishna again shifts it, so, you know, you break their words and stuff like that, and then he gets it where, you know, he was kidnapped by night. Instead of where did he spend the night, he says, how could night kidnap me and all this? And so then they just laugh. So all of these things are there and they use them because it's about rasa. They don't have to use logic to understand Krishna consciousness. That's the point. Spiritually, you don't need it. It's to clear doubts. That's why we use it. There they use it for fun. You know? So if they're taking the...
Usually people don't like logic, but what I've seen, it's interesting phenomena that some, not knowing that you are, you know, smart enough to be logical, they start with logic, and then you corner them, and then immediately they shift them to emotional state. Wow, how can you do this? This is wow, blah, blah, blah. You know, it's either you senior, you younger, it's like...
anything.
It's not logical, like, at all.
Yeah,
so from logical down to the emotional, you know, breakdown, it's like within a nanosecond.
Yeah,
and then like you mentioned, you just have to walk away, otherwise, you know, they go into hysterical state.
Yeah, yeah. That's it's the 16th is Nigrahasta.
Yes.
Nigrahasta means when the other party, or one of the parties, but in this case we're talking in this way, when the other party doesn't even understand what they're saying. So there's no use to discussing anymore, so the discussion's over.
Like in journalism, political debates, you see them, if they say something and you point it out, I didn't say that. Immediately they say, I didn't say that. And they exactly said the same. Just like few seconds ago, I didn't say that.
Yeah.
What can you talk? And like,
means they don't know what they're talking
yes.
about.
Yeah, they don't
so there's no point talking to them.
So then that's the point where you just give up the discussion.
Yeah.
So you either come to the point of Siddhanta that you conclude, or you're going to come to Nigrahasta. So it's either it's beneficial. It's moving forward. You continue with it until its conclusion, or when you see it goes to that, then you either change the subject or walk away, because you can't. There's no point. You're just wasting time. Okay. Then, the distinction between Atmavidhi and Anvikshiki lies in this. The former embodies descriptions about the nature of the soul, while the latter contains reasons supporting those descriptions. Thus, Anvikshiki is a combination of two subjects, namely Atmavidya, the science of the soul, and Hetuvidya, the theory of reasons. Right, so that's called Anvikshiki. So that's generally what our acharyas talk about. Because you see, as they make the Siddhanta, they're making the points. Like you see Jiva Goswami, he's making the point, and then he logically explains it and defeats all arguments. That's why. So when you're defeating the arguments, that's when you use the what do you call it? The I think somebody, Vibhadi, but that's music.
Vishaya
Samshaya. Vishaya Samshaya. The interesting thing is, Vishaya. You know, there's Vibhadi, Shamshaya, so then you get those things. And if there's no, then it just goes to its normal presentation. So those things, remember before was always, Vyasadeva says this, that one says that, two different things, the whole world's falling apart, so let's go eat a pizza, that's the solution, so that kind of thing.
It's the same, isn't it?
It's all the same. All it is that you're applying within when you're doing drishtanta. He doesn't understand, so he's still arguing. So therefore, you keep going until he does understand. Mm-hmm. So the udaharana is to bring about drishtanta that understand what you're saying. So if they doesn't, you deal with the argument, and then when it comes to siddhanta, it means it's clear.
So purvapaksha is a part of udaharana, isn't it?
Yeah. It comes up at Hetu, a reason. That's where it comes up, but it has its own. They'll present their own pratigya and reason and that. So in other words, when you're going, that's the place where it's dealt with.
Okay.
So when I'm giving my thesis is and giving my reason, doesn't have the scope for dealing with it. Mm-hmm. But when you get into Udaharana, that's where you have the scope to deal with it. So they overlap. It means like I start here, and then the third one here, the salt drops down here. So you discuss it here because it's about your presentation, not theirs.
Yeah.
So that, and then in the fourth one, then you start to absorb their one into yours, and then you make the conclusion. And quotes by the acharyas, Srila Prabhupada. For logicians who want to accept only that which is proven through logic and argument, it is a fact that without logic and reason, there can be no question of accepting the absolute truth. Unfortunately, when such logicians take to this path without the mercy of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, they remain on the platform of logic and argument and do not advance in spiritual life. And so, it means only when you see the two together. Otherwise, they just look at logic and argue on that. That means because when people are arguing, generally their presentations are actually aparavidya. They're arguing on that level. Very few are presenting actual transcendental knowledge. Like you say, oh, but you're younger, how can you say this to me? Where's the philosophy? Okay, that's a cultural thing. Okay, great. Okay, so then then like that. So then I'll rephrase it and say, my dear sir, it would appear that what you're saying is not logical because of this, 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 this. Now is that all that? Then he says, no, but how can you say that to me? It's like, that means you're not cultured. And if you're not cultured, then the senior junior doesn't matter because like that. And so therefore there's no basis of conversation, and so therefore I will leave.
Another difficulty seems to be is that without establishing pramana first, everything, it's like my logic against your logic, it's very relative. And, you know, these people logic, like you've mentioned, you know, in South America, what's logical for them, for Germans, it's like weird.
Yeah, yeah.
It's not even, we can't even discuss it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So what's the pramana? And then if there's pramana for everybody, then we can discuss further. Otherwise, it becomes just, you know, like two dogs barking.
Yeah, yeah.
So this is, I found also, like, on what basis do we actually, is it Bhagavad Gita, is it Bhagavatam, is it teachings of Lord Chaitanya, teachings of Srila Prabhupada, when we have to establish some basis.
Yeah, yeah. What you would see is also in the you know, that you see in these ancient debates that are mentioned in scripture, when they actually bring up that there's a debate, that's one of the first things they do is, what's the scripture?
Yeah.
Like that. And they generally, if someone feels they are superior or senior, you know, they give the choice of scripture to the junior.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh, that's...
Because otherwise, you know, if they choose, then it'll be way above them. So they let them choose one that they're confident at.
Mm-hmm. Also, you defeat them in their home ground.
Yes,
then that's established.
Yes, that's a very good point.
Well, I do.
It means it's their book. You defeat them in their book. That means obviously you're better.
Oh yeah. Like playing on their
home ground.
Yeah. Means if you go to Australia and beat the Australians, that's the worst.
Okay. But they also should establish the vocabulary, isn't it?
That's also there. That's what we have. Generally, if you study logic, the first thing you do is study Tarka Sangaha. Right? That's, everybody accepts that. It's I think 100 words, and it defines each word according to scripture, and there are definitions that I think all the schools can accept. So you have a basis to start from.
How can you discuss?
Yeah. But if they, but yes, so, yeah. So those two have to be there. So it means if we have a course on Upadhyaya course on Nyaya, because this is just the bindu, you know, the essence, you know, that it's working on, then they would naturally include that kind of thing. Because then you have definitions and all that. So when they say, because that's why that if you get to the point they're saying something, it makes no sense. Ask them to define the word. You know, so everybody says, who's this everybody? No, I mean, you know, everybody. Which everybody? You know, so is my mother saying that? You know, it's last time I talked to her, she wasn't saying that. You know? So you're saying she's not an everybody, so you have something against my mother? No. It's just, you can use all the tricks against them, you know. It's like,
but you're not answering my question.
So that went big, big, big. How can I ask? How can I talk to someone who doesn't like my mother? You know, she's insulting my mother. If you have the energy and the enthusiasm, you can really get in and just, you know, have fun. But if it's not where you get your pleasure, then you know how to avoid trouble. Okay. However, if one is intelligent enough to apply his arguments and logic to the subtle understanding of the fundamental spiritual substance, he'll be able to know that a poor fund of knowledge established on the basis of material logic cannot help one understand the absolute truth, which is beyond the reach of the imperfect senses. So many things in this one sentence, no? Intelligent enough to understand the fundamental spiritual substance, which means Krishna, you know, the person. When you understand that, then everything else falls into place. Yeah, that was beyond the reach of the imperfect senses, because Krishna, as I mentioned before, he, up through Abhideya, he reveals himself. So logic can't do that. The Mahabharata therefore says, achintya
kalu ye bhava na tams tartakena yojayet. Mahabharata Bhishma Parva 5:22. How can that which is beyond the imagination or sensory speculation of mundane creatures be approached simply by logic? Because logic, you're using your intelligence, your mind, your senses, but this is something that's beyond the sensory. Your intelligence is only working with what you gain through the senses. This can't be gained through the senses. That means logic cannot understand it. You know what I'm saying? So just like you have a blender, only what you put into the blender can blend. It's not in the blender, it can't blend it. Does that make sense? So those tomatoes that are beyond the scope of the blender can't be blended by them. Does that make sense? Logic and argument are very poor in spiritual strength and always imperfect when applied to spiritual understanding. Like, as we mentioned, they don't actually give sadhana and sadhya like that. By putting forward, you know, it's not that you can't discuss and argue sadhana and sadhya with logic. Logic itself, what's the sadhana? What's the sadhya of logic? What's the ultimate goal of logic?
Winning the argument.
Yeah, that's it. So how is winning the argument have anything to do with the Supreme? What's the sadhana for that person who goes out and wins arguments? Does logic say?
Well, I guess study logic.
Okay, but you know.
And eat enough for.
Eat enough. So you have enough energy. See, come in for the, what do you call it? The logical debate. You both sit down, you know, like that. You know, the rituals of the guy. The peon guy brings out two cans of Red Bull, puts down the next thing, runs off, and then, okay, everything's set, everyone's ready. Okay.
So it says actually it's purely mundane.
It's purely mundane.
Nothing to do.
All the apara vidya are purely mundane, 100%. But they're apara vidya, means they're not para vidya, but they're not avidya. Mm-hmm. Because they are that vidya that can is naturally able to be connected to paravidya, mm-hmm. that can bring the living entity from avidya to paravidya. Mm-hmm. So that's the thing. It's that knowledge that's in between. Like we say, Ayurveda. It can through understanding it and using it, you can use it in Krishna service, but if you understand how it works, you'll see the philosophies inherent in it. Right? But that means you know the philosophy, that's why you see it. You don't know the philosophy, you'll think it's just giving you some medical stuff. You know, it's just these the three modes of nature, that mucus, bile, and air. You know, where does that come from? You know, some body. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
And so then you can take it all the way back and you can discuss when it's saying it has to be the balance of these things is how do you have a pastime if there's no some body? So therefore, if there's a prominence of one or the other in the pastime, that means that aspect takes the prominence and you deal with that. You know, if it's about the place, you deal with the place. You're arranging the place. Like they're doing the rasa dance, they don't walk in. You know, they don't have to go by the bouncer and walk in and it's already happening. They have to go in and sweep and set it up, get out the musical instruments, do all the things. They have to arrange it. You know, so that will be the prominence there. Does that make sense? So then, but then if the focus is on the sannidhi aspect, but they're applying some bit to do that, and why? Because they want the lavini of Radha and Krishna's pleasure. But the prominence is that. So they deal with that. So here is that if, you know, if the, how do you say, the mucus is out of bounds, you deal with that. And then you bring it about. So when it's in balance, now it's ready for the pastime, then it moves on to the Abhideya. Now everybody comes there. Right? They take their positions in it, but it's still within Abhideya that, you know, who's going to sing, who's this and that. Right? Then they're going to sing and everything, and the dancing will be happening. So then that's the problem. But what's it for? For the pleasure of Radha and Krishna. So because that wasn't in place, therefore that's why Krishna stopped the Rasa Leela and left. Because you couldn't get Radha Krishna's pleasure out of the rasa dance as it was being performed before that. because each gopi thought she was the most fortunate and it was all about her. So how can you have a rasa dance that's centered on Radha Krishna? So therefore, he left, she left. Then when they found, then they understood she's more advanced than them, and that, you know, Krishna, you know, she's most important to Krishna. So therefore, then they put everything in balance. So to please Krishna means that it has to be in line with that. Then they can have the rasa dance, where Radha and Krishna can dance in the middle, and then unlimited gopis are expanding out from there. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Then now the field is ripe for that. Then the private can be tasted. So sambandha, vidhi, and prayoga are always going on. So you have to, there's something that you have to deal with that. You know, either removing something that's not favorable, or you're adding in the favorable, you know, like that. You know, so you're having the rasa dance, then we need musical instruments. You know? So does that make sense? So the same thing will come into Ayurveda. When they take your pulse, they see the balance of mucus, bile, and air, and then it's what has to be done. It's the same principle. It's just the mechanics of it. So therefore, the mechanics are, when you remove Krishna, it's mundane. As soon as you add Krishna, it's not anymore. Just for everyone's information, this is not a potato.
It's a rock.
Yeah, it's a rock. Every time I walk by, I just kind of glance up. What's the potato? No, the rock.
It looks very natural.
Yeah, yeah. Yes, natural potato. Does that make sense? So aparavidya means, it's aparavidya because you've taken Krishna out of it. But it's the perfect thing for connecting to paravidya. So that's the difficulty. That's why we make distinctions between paravidya, aparavidya, and avidya. Yeah. So then that will be the range, because we're performing bhakti yoga and we're engaging our activities in Lord's service. Now if you're on the platform of jnana yoga, they don't worry about the aparavidya. There's paravidya, avidya, because they don't do karma. You know, for us, because bhakti includes, therefore we use all three. Sometimes one karma is more, sometimes jnana is more, but in all cases, bhakti is the central feature. So you see, it's these overlaps is the problem. You know, avidya, okay, that's nonsense. Paravidya, yeah, that's it. The opera avidya, that's where the confusion comes.
But that's actually, it's the most interesting part also. Because in the material world, that's the majority.
Yeah, but it also, that's what gives the flavor in the spiritual world. They use all that. They use all the decoration, all the 64 arts, everything like that. They're using all those things. Somehow from here in the corner of my eye, that looked like a huge crab. He was carrying this thing, and the way it was coming out like this, it looked like, you know, how the crabs have that little thing. It was thinking, oh, it's just my jalali carrying around. Yeah. Okay. Then, okay. By putting forward mundane logic, one frequently comes to the wrong conclusion regarding the absolute truth. As a result of such a conclusion, one may fall down to accept a body like that of a jackal. So it seems that jackals are those who have misapplied logic. So they love to talk, but. Maybe that's what it means. Most people are scared of logicians. At the same time, most people are scared of jackals. Jackals used to be logicians. Mundane logicians. You want to say something?
No, there's a story in Mahabharata. Actually, somebody became a jackal.
From a logician.
Yeah. He was a logician.
Because he mentioned Mahabharata. Despite all this, those who are actually inquisitive to understand the philosophy of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu through logic and argument are welcome. Krishnas Kaviraj Goswami addresses them, please put Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's mercy to your critical test. Crucial test, right? Because he said, Tarka is analyzing a particular thing. Is it this, is it that, and all that. So that's a tarka that you're working with. And then you apply the logic on that. So he's saying, yes, apply, the mercy of Lord Chaitanya. Put him to the critical test, and you'll see he's the most merciful of anybody. If you apply logic properly. But if you use mundane logic, you can come up with all kinds of things. And if you're actually a logician, you'll come to the right conclusion that there's no personality more merciful than Lord Chaitanya. Let the logicians compare all the results of other humanitarian work with the merciful activities of Lord Chaitanya. Their judgment is impartial. They will actually understand that no other humanitarian activities can surpass those of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Chaitanya Charitamrita, Adi Leela, 8:15, purport. And then, how long does this one go? And those who are actually Vaishnava, they follow this instruction. Evam te bhagavad duta yama duta vipashitam upadharyata tan narajan pratyahur nyaya kovidaha. Nyaya kovidaha. Nyaya kovidaha means nyaya nipuna. Bhagavad duties, Bhagavad dutas, those who are Goswamis. They place everything with nyaya or logic. Their instructions are not blind, dogmatic. Nyaya kovidaha. Therefore, what is said by Krishna is representative. They are not dogmas. Those who are not representative of Krishna, they will say simply dogmas. Because it's just, it's an absolute point for them, but they can't actually explain it. So it's a dogma. Yeah. It's just accepted. And everybody in that particular faith or that accepts that. But here we're saying, no, we can discuss it. We can analyze it. Because it's not critical analysis. Because we're not trying to find fault. As Mathis was mentioning that club, that their only point is to find fault in the Bible. Things like that. So it's not that. It's that you're analyzing, and if you do it impartially, you'll see that it's correct. Lord Chaitanya is giving the most wonderful.
I think this is what Jiva Goswami and Rupa Goswami are doing.
Yes.
Because what we accept as followers of a particular line is an absolute truth, like Satyam Param Dhimahi or Edicham Sakalapamsa. For us, We logically, we don't have to prove it. We already accepted it.
Yes,
but for others,
yes,
it's a contextual truth.
Yes.
It's not an absolute truth.
Yes.
So the acharyas, what they do in their works, they establish it.
Yes.
So then it becomes universal. Instead of being like a,
yes,
belief or faith or whatever,
yes, yes,
of a certain group.
Right.
So this is important.
Yes, yes. Yes.
So otherwise, some devotees don't understand. We studied Lagu Bhagavatamrita last year, and they mentioned, why do we have to? We already accepted it. Well, I said, no, you have to understand. And Rupa Goswami puts his energy for a reason there, to establish Krishna's true Bhagavan Swayam, because that's the main verse of the book. And Jiva Goswami does same in Krishna Sandara.
Also, Chaitanya Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami, he says that one should not be lazy in understanding the conclusion.
That's true.
Here all is the conclusion that is presented, and at one place Bhaktivinoda Thakur says, out of all the Shaktis of the Lord, this Shakti, that Krishna is Achintya, is foremost, because that explains everything else.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the place where we have maximum doubts.
Simultaneously,
one may be different sometimes.
Because he makes the point is also on that, just on the Achintya. He says it's not illogical to say that God is inconceivable.
Yeah.
It's not illogical to say God is inconceivable. You can't say that's illogical, because that's the definition of God. So even on a logical point of view, you can even make that point. So it's that's where that inconceivable is one and different. that the same point, the same Ayurveda is going to help you become Krishna conscious. The same Ayurveda can take you away from Krishna. That's the whole. Those are the points that they don't are difficult to catch. Yeah? Okay.
Om Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
Shri Prabhupada, Ki Jai.